You're listening to WGXC, Accra, 90.7 FM.
The Community Soup Night returns to Left Bank Ciders in Catskills this coming Thursday. And this coming Thursday, the Soup Night benefits WGXC. Turn out Thursday between 5 and 7 p.m. for the Community Soup Night at Left Bank Ciders. There'll be at least one vegetarian soup and several different flavors of soup and all kinds of flavors of cider. Tom DiPietro and Cella Graham will be broadcasting live on WGXC Afternoon Show, and DJ Yeshi will also be playing music, too. Turn out this Thursday between 5 and 7 p.m. for Community Soup Night at Left Bank Ciders in Catskill.
The Catskill Food Pantry is located in the Parish Hall of St. Luke's Episcopal Church at 50 William Street in Catskill. The pantry is open to the public every Friday from 1 to 4 p.m. Healthy food is a right. For more information, please feel welcome to visit the pantry. Call us at 551-299-2456. Check the website at catskillfoodpantry.org or connect with us on Facebook at Catskill Food Pantry.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at WGXC.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org/donate now.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Dominic Morante in Hudson, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Michael Ryan reports in Porcupine Soup that an official from Windham Mountain Club said at a December 21st planning board meeting that it has scrapped plans for an on-site hotel and amphitheater, but still plans to build 60-plus townhouses and get new members at $175,000 each with access to services others will not have. The ski resort also plans improvements to their golf course and to the Adventure Center Tubing Park, where tennis, pickleball, and skeet shooting will be placed, but they do not have all finalized plans yet. A memo from the resort's engineering firm said, and I quote, "We recommended that the planning board provide Windham Mountain Club time to provide said information and consider issuing a determination of significance at your January 18, 2024 meeting," end quote. Windham residents have expressed concern that the resort is changing from a place where they could ski to something they cannot afford. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. Brian Hubert reports for the Daily Freeman, a staff member for Representative Pat Ryan claims protesters at a pro-Palestinian rally on January 5th attempted to, and I quote, forcibly enter, end quote, the congressman's office. Protesters have been regularly asking for Ryan to support a ceasefire in the Gaza war. Dan Torres, Ryan's deputy chief of staff and district director, said, and I quote, "I saw over a dozen protesters around the door who have masks on, and I heard walkie-talkie noises and chanting," end quote. And he saw a fellow Ryan staffer. He said, and I quote, "I see half of her face through the cracked door, and she's terrified and in a state of distress. Two of the protesters are on the door. One has their body partially in. The other had her back pushing back on the door, attempting to enter the space, end quote. Torres said he calmly engaged the protesters and occasionally chanted and yelled. Other protesters got on the building's roof and lowered banners, one with the names of the more than 22,000 Palestinians who have died since Hamas militants invaded Israel on October 7th, and another banner read, and I quote, Pat Ryan, stop the genocide, end quote. And a third stated, and I quote, 90 days, 22,000 killed, end quote. Torres said he filed a police report, but the writer was unable to get a police comment. Ryan, a Democrat representing the 18th Congressional District, said he has, and I quote, tremendous respect for people peacefully demonstrating, end quote, but was, and I quote, very concerning to see his staff threatened. The vast majority of people at Friday's event were peacefully protesting, end quote. He said, and I quote, unfortunately, about 20 individuals decided to enter the building and forcefully open the door, end quote. The Daily Freeman story did not quote any protester, but the Times Union spoke with Daniel Otona, a member of the steering committee of the Mid-Hudson Valley Democratic Socialists of America, which helped organize the event. He said, and I quote, it was hundreds of Hudson Valley residents coming together for pro-ceasefire, pro-peace, and pro-Palestine. It is frustrating that in Congressman Ryan's statement, he calls us a crowd of people and accuses us of all kinds of things that just did not happen, but does not acknowledge that we're his constituents. We're local people from local organizations who organized this event, end quote. The protest was organized by the Mid-Hudson Valley Democrat Socialists of America. Wednesday Walks for Black Lives, Jewish Voices for Peace, Middle East Crisis Response, Mid-Hudson Islamic Community, Veterans for Peace, Vassar Students for Justice in Palestine, Poughkeepsie for Palestine, and the Communist Party of Hudson Valley. Mia Inouye, a member of the Mid-Hudson Democrat Socialist of America and one of the rally speakers, said, and I quote, I think civil disobedience has a long tradition on the left and in the anti-war movement. That's one of the tactics we use. I think it's completely appropriate given the extremity of the violence that we're witnessing every day, end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Mid-Hudson News reports that the Dutchess County Conservative Party has endorsed a candidate for president who is currently facing 91 criminal charges and previously attempted to overturn the results of a free and fair election. Don Minichino, local committee chair, said, and I quote, President Trump understood the serious problems our nation faced and was fearless in addressing them. Under President Trump, America was respected throughout the world and feared by our enemies. Domestically, Americans knew that our borders were being secured, law enforcement supported, and Second Amendment freedoms protected, end quote. Trump was president from 2016 to 2020, and passed very few laws and a giant tax cut for rich Americans. He currently faces several trials for fraud, insurrection, sexual assault, and other charges. Read more about this story in Mid-Hudson News. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
The Public News Service NOAA Newscast, January the 10th, 2024. I'm Mike Clifford. A recent report looking at executive compensation found that companies with the most overpaid CEOs had lower returns to shareholders than the S&P average. We get more in this Yes Magazine Maryland News Connection collaboration.
The nonprofit shareholder advocacy group As You Sow recently produced its 10th report on the 100 most overpaid CEOs. The report found that while the average S&P 500 firm saw annualized returns of 8.5%, companies on the most overpaid list lagged at 7.9%, with the 25 worst seeing only a 6% return. The Maryland-based lead researcher Rosanna Landis-Weaver says over time, changes in social norms, corporate compensation strategies, the tax code, and rules around stock repurchases have contributed to overpaid executives.
We look at a period of history when America was a leader in creating solid middle-class jobs, but also industry growth. Companies plowed back any excess money into the company, into research and development, and new initiatives, whatever. What we've had companies saying lately is, you know what, the best thing I can do with this money is buy my own.
Brett Pivato reporting.
When As You Sow began these reports 10 years ago, the average compensation of the 10 most overpaid CEOs was $56 million. This time, the number was $88 million. That is a 59% increase. Now, for the Washington Post, a panel of three federal appellate judges expressed skepticism on Tuesday about Donald Trump's claim to sweeping immunity from criminal prosecution. The Post reports that Trump argues he cannot be tried for trying to overturn the 2020 election because he was acquitted by the Senate. James Pierce, a Justice Department lawyer, called that claim an extraordinary, frightening proposition. Now to New York, where federal funds have been awarded to applicants transitioning to electric school buses.
The $69 million grant is part of the Environmental Protection Agency's Clean School Bus Program grants competition. This money will be split between the Evans-Brandt Central School District in Western New York and two New York City school bus services. Deb Peck Kelleher with the Alliance for Clean Energy New York notes, despite widespread appeal, misinformation about these buses has spread.
I think the big one is that they aren't going to work in New York, that New York is too cold or New York is too hilly, and we're finding that's not the case. Canada and Alaska are successfully using ZEV electric buses.
Other opposition has come from lawmakers who feel the state is moving too fast. State Senator Joseph Griffo called for a moratorium on the state's mandate, noting smaller rural school districts might struggle to keep up with it. New York State is mandating only electric school buses be purchased starting in 2027. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
This is Public News Service. The American Red Cross says it is experiencing an emergency blood shortage. A regional facility in North Dakota says its situation isn't quite as dire.
January is National Blood Donor Month, and the urgent plea from the Red Cross notes that the U.S. faces the lowest number of people giving blood in 20 years. Monica Jansen is with the Dak Min Blood Bank, which is a hospital-based donation site in Grand Forks. She says even though they are in better shape, it doesn't mean volunteers can stop coming by.
If we aren't getting our blood needs from our local community here and we have to go out and request blood nationally, we might not have that as a backup.
And while donor support has been strong on the local level, Jansen says they could use more supplies of O negative. She feels the public might just assume that blood supplies will always be there, but her facility notes that situations can change quickly, and not having enough from donors could be a life or death situation for hospital patients in need. I'm Mike Moen.
And young farmers in Pennsylvania and across the country want the Congress to help them, especially with fair and affordable land access as they deal with the effects of climate change.
Many young farmers and farmers of color have difficulty finding land to purchase. So the National Young Farmers Coalition has launched a campaign called 1 Million Acres for the Future. Adrian Nelson with the coalition says they're asking Congress to make an investment in equitable land access in the next farm bill by passing the bipartisan Investing in Land Access, Security and Opportunities Act.
What we're asking for is $100 million to be put towards a land access initiative that pretty much would allow groups of farmers or nonprofit organizations to buy farmland and distribute it to farmers.
For Public News Service, I'm Danielle Smith.
Finally, from our Terry D., pets are often considered beloved family members, and like any loved one, their health is a priority. Research from Purdue University has found a link between a dog's exposure to cigarette smoke and lawn care products and higher rates of cancer.
The team observed the environment and activity of 120 Scottish Terriers and found the dogs were 6 times more likely to develop urinary bladder cancer than other breeds. College of Veterinary Medicine professor Deborah Knapp says there are steps dog owners can take to reduce the risk of their pets becoming ill.
Avoiding cigarette smoke, avoiding long chemicals, and being aware so that if the dog develops symptoms at, say, middle age to older age, like blood in the urine or urinary accidents, that it would be a really good idea to have their veterinarian check the dog out.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. Here's our radio stations, big and small, your favorite podcast platform. You can find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In January 2023, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine signed HB 458, one of the most restrictive voter ID laws in the country. It also tightened several absentee voting rules. On January 8, 2024, a federal court upheld HB 458, affecting thousands of unhoused, elderly, student, and disabled voters. Using a pretext of election integrity, the Ohio legislature eliminated non-ID documentation like utility bills and mandated a state-issued ID, military ID, or a passport. It eliminated student IDs, a tactic used by red states to suppress younger voters, and it forced those without ID, including the elderly and disabled, to apply in person and with all the necessary documents for a state-issued ID. Theoretically, voters without ID can vote, but only by provisional ballot, which counts only if the voter returns with the proper ID. HB 458 restricted that too, shortening the time to return from 10 days to 4. Nevertheless, the U.S. District Court judge ruled that voting in Ohio remained very easy and that the plaintiffs failed to show a burden on voters in the state's 2023 elections. A new challenge filed January 5th by a physically disabled voter challenges HB 458's restriction of absentee ballot delivery by only immediate family members. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, January 10th. Local early morning temperatures range from 33 degrees in Tannersville and Durham to 37 in Copaic. Regional average soil temperature is 34 degrees. We have snow reports in from yesterday. I know it's kind of moot because it was washed away by the rain. However, it was recorded in Westkill, 4 inches. Phoenicia, 4 inches. East Jewett got 3.5. Middleburg got 2. Austerlitz, 1.5. And Esopus got 1. There is a wind advisory out today for anyone that can hear me. It'll be best to avoid any kind of fires outside and wrap yourself up pretty well because today we'll have a lingering temperature around 44 degrees and it will be randomly rainy until dark. Wind gusts are expected to kick up between 12 and 9 p.m. Overnight, temperatures drop to 28 degrees and tomorrow we get a high of 41 and things start to dry out. 29 degrees overnight takes us into an also dry looking Friday with a high of 40. Overnight, we're looking at maybe an inch of snow before it turns to rain with a passing warm front. Saturday will be hypothermia territory due to rainy conditions and a high of 47. Sunset today will be at 4:28 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:18 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 5%. Plasma winds will be slow at 398 kilometers per second with a thin density of 2 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair below 30 megahertz overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 183, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
You're listening to Wireless Reconnaissance, Broadcast Surveillance, Transmission Art, and more Saturdays on WGXC 90.7 FM Creative Community Radio.
Wow. And welcome to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. I'm Amanda.
I'm Jenny.
We're going to tell you about what's playing in the local theaters. I'll start and tell you about what's playing in the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York. We have... Oh my internet's going slow. Okay. Mean Girls, the musical, a new twist from Tina Fey is what the poster says. That wasn't me being creative. Wonka, the people love it.
They really do.
I know. I'm curious now because people love it. And Night Swim, a new James Wan horror movie. You can find out more about showtimes at WyndhamTheater.com. That's WyndhamTheater.com.
All right. Now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Crandall Theater over in Chatham. We have Smoke Sauna Sisterhood, The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, The Secret Life of Pets, The Last Waltz, Fallen Leaves, Common Ground, The Boy and the Heron, The Color Purple, and Ferrari. And if you're interested in any of those movies, head on over to crandalltheater.org to find out the show times.
Amazing. I was going to tell you about what's playing at the Madison Theater in Hudson. That's the newer one. But it looks like it's already kind of out.
No.
I even think that last time we were on the airwaves, it was kind of out as well. I don't know why, but there is
something's gone wrong
scheduled. So instead, I will tell you about what's playing at the Spotlight Theater in Hudson. That's also on Fairview Avenue. We have Night Swim, The Boys in the Boat, Anyone But You, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, Migration, Wonka, and that's it. You can find out more at thespotlighttheaters.com, and you can select Hudson from the drop-down menu.
All right, while we're in Hudson, let me tell you about what's playing over at TSL, also known as Time and Space Limited, for those who don't know. We have Casablanca. We also have Anatomy of a Fall. And last but not least, we have Alfred Hitchcock's Notorious. And if you're interested in those specific showtimes, you can head on over to timeandspace.org.
Gorgeous. I'm fresh out of theaters to tell you about, so you're going to have to keep
going
on this one.
Please allow me to continue. It is my pleasure to do so. All right, so now we're going to head a little bit further south to the Upstate Films location, starting with the Star Cinema, which is the location in Rhinebeck. So we have, this week, All of Us Strangers, Poor Things, Ferrari, Smoke Sauna Sisterhood, Sweet East with director Sean Price Williams and writer Nick Pinkerton, and Fallen Leaves. And then heading across the river to the Upstate location in Saugerties, also known as the Orpheum Theater, we have Maestro, Wonka, The Boy and the Heron, The Mean Girls Musical, Ferrari, and Have You Got It Yet? The Story of Syd Barrett and Pink Floyd.
Fun.
Fun. And if you're interested in any of those showtimes, you can head on over to upstatefilms.org and they will tell you when to go see them.
Amazing.
This is kissing, man, like a long walk home when the music stops. Take a tip from me, took it to the park. When you're on your own, it's a long walk home. Well, if they follow you, don't look back. Like Dylan in the movies, on your own. If they follow you, it's not your money that they're after, boy, it's you. You're easy listening, settle down on the pillow soft. When they've all gone home, you can concentrate on the ones you love. You can concentrate, hey, now they're gone. But if they follow you, don't look back. Like Dylan in the movie, on your own. If they follow you, your money that they're out to boy it's you. If we all went back to another time, I will love you over. I will love you over. I will love you. If they follow you, don't look back like Dylan in the movies on your own. Turn the light on in your room. sings this song. The whole night long. Secretly.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
New York News held a virtual climate State of the State press conference on Monday, January 8th, to discuss their climate justice priorities for 2024, the People's Climate Justice Budget, and Climate Jobs and Justice Package. In part two of our coverage, we hear from two youth climate activists from We Stay, Nos Cuadamas, from the South Bronx, Melanie Giller and John Sanchez, followed by some questions and answers with Senator Krueger and Assemblymember Fahey.
Hi, my name is Melanie, and I was born and raised in the South Bronx. I have many fond memories of growing up here. The open fire hydrants in the summer, the coco mango cherry ices, and the sounds of bachata playing down the block are staples of my childhood. But now that I am older, I realize my innocent childhood was too often corrupted by the consequences of environmental injustice. Picture this, a couple of 11-year-old middle schoolers, including myself, bragging about having an asthma pump. We thought we were so special because we had the privilege of stepping aside during gym class to take a break and breathe. Reflecting on my personal story now as a teenager, I realize there is nothing normal about a majority of my friend group having asthma. Relying on a medical inhaler to breathe is not a privilege, especially when the South Bronx has the highest rate of childhood asthma in New York City, according to a 2021 study by Manhattan College. Today, there are four peaker plants in the South Bronx that are polluting my community. Continuous exposure to harmful pollutants increase our risk of respiratory illnesses. The growing climate crisis worsens air quality and causes more events of extreme heat, which repeats the dangerous cycle of fighting to breathe. Without a choice, I paid the consequences of environmental injustice. Today, as a young adult, I invest my time and voice into fighting for my right to a clean and just environment. It is because of the injustices I inherited that I joined the environmental justice team at Nos Quedamos. It is time that polluters are held responsible and that my neighborhood receives the help needed to rectify the situation. I urge the leaders of New York State to pass the three bills in the Climate Jobs and Justice Package and fund the People's Climate Justice Budget this year to meet the goals of the Climate Act. Thank you, and I now pass it over to my colleague, John.
Thank you, Melanie, so much. So my name is John Sanchez, and I'm a youth leader passionate about environmental justice, climate resilience, and the protection of all communities. Justice and equality must be top priorities when addressing climate change. The impacts of climate change are not just environmental, but profoundly social and economic. Every effort to address climate change with justice in mind is a step towards a more equitable and sustainable future. What I need to see is a world where people collaborate to reduce emissions, where vulnerable communities, where the benefits of sustainability are shared by all. Among many of the transformative environmental justice projects listed in the People's Climate Justice Budget are Nos Quedamos South Bronx Resiliency Hubs. Funding the budget will allow historically underinvested communities to contribute their local knowledge and power to prepare for and overcome the disproportionate adversities of climate change. For young people like me, climate justice is calling my name because I know I deserve a sustainable, habitable reality and future. Addressing climate change, understanding its harsh impact on marginalized communities, and demanding accountability from those in power is a necessity. Climate justice embodies our power for a resilient world where every individual, regardless of age or background, has the right to live in a healthy and sustainable environment. That allows us to create change. Let's collectively demand a better world for my generation and for those who will come after us. We can work together to create a future that is worthy of the ambitions we have for it. Climate justice is more than just naming our struggle. It is about determining our legacy. Thank you.
My name is Mark Dunley. While I'm a climate activist, I'm also a daily news producer for Hudson Mohawk Magazine, a radio network in the Capital District. There's been, unfortunately, a lot of disinformation campaign being organized by the fossil fuel industry, which legislators would need to counteract. And there was a lot of discussion about the need to raise funds, both for shovel-ready projects, but also the Climate Superfund. The governor has indicated that she does not want to be raising taxes or revenues in this year's budget. So I'm just sort of curious, what is the legislative strategy both to counteract the disinformation campaign by the fossil fuel industry and how do one convince the governor that the climate change is something where we need to put a fair amount of money on the table right now?
Other legislators, Senator Krueger, would you like to respond to that question as well?
Sure. I mean, it was a couple of questions. I agree with Anna completely that it is our job as legislators, and really we depend on you, the advocates, and the scientists in your organizations to refute the false information when it is being put out there. And yes, some in the oil and gas industries are spending an enormous amount of money trying to convince us that there's really no problem and they don't really need to do anything. And so it is our jobs collectively to make sure that we are pushing back with facts and science every time we see this going on. And it has to be part of all of our jobs and our advocacy. Now, as far as money in the budget, of course, I'm the finance chair, so I'm very aware that what people ask for in money versus what the state has to spend are never in line with each other, ever in the history of government. But it is also true, Mark, since you asked the question, you know that we did a $4 billion environmental act that the people voted for, and that money is not spent. Some of it has been, you know, soft allocated, but we can be focusing on what we think the priority uses of that money are, because that money is here now. You mentioned my climate polluters pay fund that Jeff Dinowitz and I are pushing very hard to get done, because that would be $3 billion a year for 25 years, $75 billion of money. It's not a new tax on New Yorkers. It's an assessment on the worst oil and gas polluters in the world. And we really think that needs to be a priority, because it saves us having to pay for it, because we're making the polluters pay this money. The New York Heat Act that Pat Fahey and I talked about actually saves ratepayers by not wasting money on trying to keep up and build new gas infrastructure that we know we don't need. And if we don't stay focused on that, we will continue to waste money that we could be using for renewable energy agendas rather than continuing to support the gas and oil infrastructure that we know we have to get away from. So there's lots of different answers and lots of different pieces of solutions. No one silver bullet, in my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator, so much. And I'll just real quickly from the New York Renews perspective on this one. I mean, it certainly is not lost on us what we are up against when it comes to the oil and gas companies that are doing everything they can to thwart the amazing progress New York has made so far and will continue to make, thanks to the work of everybody on this call. And when it comes right down to it, New York Renews is going to fight like hell. That's what we're here for, and that's what we need. So that's what we're coming with this legislative session. And I see Colin's hand up. Take it away, Colin.
My question is about the New York Heat Act and some of the politics around that. So I was wondering if you've heard anything about the governor including a version of this in her executive budget, whether she ends up doing that or not. You know, what might be different, if anything, about the politics this year? Has the coalition expanded? You know, has there been any push to get unions on board, who I believe were skeptical last year?
This is Assemblywoman Fahey. Very briefly, we have met with the governor's office. We are in regular touch with them and have pushed. Our goal will be to try to get as much of this in the budget. I think our coalition has grown, momentum has grown, and God knows the weather-related disasters. I think momentum is continuing.
Governor Hochul, in her State of the State on Tuesday, did announce that she supported much of the New York Heat Act, particularly the 100-foot rule to require a free gas line extension if you are within 100 feet of an existing line, and the obligation to serve. She also included language about energy affordability, though she stopped short of calling for the 6% cap of household income for utilities bills. This has been Mark Dunley with the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org. Hudson Valley's Mercury Rev there from their 1998 classic album Deserter Songs. They are riding the Hudson line along the Hudson River on WGXC. Here is renowned Hudson Valley-based composer Pauline Oliveros with Sound Patterns and Tropes.
Thank you.
Thank you.